two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. Mitch Harper here. And can you believe it? BYU basketball going to be starting up practice here coming up on Tuesday. And talking some BYU basketball now with BYU newest addition, but he's a familiar face as well. He is Jake Toulson. Jake, welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks.
Appreciate you having me, man. It's good to be here.
Yeah, excited for you and this BYU basketball team. And I kind of want to just take a trip down memory lane with you, Jake, because and just kind of go through your career, in basketball and in your personal life to how you got to here where you're entering your final season in college basketball. And I remember you coming up through the ranks at Highland High School in Gilbert, Arizona. You were a heralded recruit, a top 247 recruit, if I remember right, in the class of 2014. You had offers from like Arizona State, Boston College, St. Mary's, but why was it back then? Why did you choose BYU then?
I think back then it was just the school I had always wanted to go to. I grew up coming to BYU camps and had a bunch of family members that had attended BYU, and it was just in the family. And that was kind of the school I had always pictured myself at and dreamed of playing at. And so when the opportunity presented itself to play there, I had to take it.
When you mentioned family members, that have connections to BYU. Obviously, I believe your uncle Danny Ainge played here at BYU. And what other family connections do you have at BYU that are tied with BYU?
Well, obviously Danny, and then Austin, who played there. My parents both went to BYU. They didn't play sports or anything, but just growing up, that's kind of what I grew up around. Everyone went to BYU, and that's all I knew pretty much.
And you played in 36 games in your first 2 years at BYU, but then I remember you had like an illness that sidelined you, and it ended up, you know, just causing you to, you know, look at other options. What happened there, and what ultimately led you to want to, you know, maybe, you know, find a new landing spot after your first two seasons at BYU?
Yeah, I think my experience the first time at BYU, it was difficult coming straight from high school and adjusting to, the demands of college, not only basketball, but, you know, class and living away from home for the first time. And there was just so much more on my plate at that time. And I think I was dealing with some things that I needed to take a step back from basketball to figure some things out before I could be the best basketball player I wanted to be and the best person and the best, you know, everything that I was striving to be at that time. I needed to kind of just peel it back a little bit, start fresh, and then go from there. So I think there's a lot of kind of factors that contributed to it. But I think at the end of the day, I just needed a new start. I needed something fresh so that I could really just build it up from there.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff, Jake. You know, and there was no transfer portal back when you transferred the first time out of BYU. Was it tough to find a new landing spot when you were, you know, leaving BYU the first time and then ultimately ended up at UVU?
Yeah, it was. I think for me, I kind of wanted to just find the best spot where I could do all the things that I set out to do originally. But yeah, it was hard, and especially going to UVU just down the road from BYU was tough, because originally I wanted to just get out of Utah, be away from everything, kind of just put this behind me and everything. But I think that I saw where UVU was going, and I saw the opportunity there, and they kind of took a chance on me, and I'm really grateful for them for doing that. So I think that's why I ended up at UVU.
And you know, you end up at UVU, as you mentioned, and Mark Pope and Cody Feger were guys that were part of BYU staff when you were previously with the Cougars. Was the relationship with those two coaches, was that ultimately the reason you went with Utah Valley, along with the fact that they were on the come up as a program?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, those guys had always been there for me through this time. And I think what stood out to me was just them showing support no matter what. And it really wasn't even about basketball at that time. It was just about what was best for me as me, the individual. And so them supporting me through that and, you know, kind of showing me what that program was all about, which was relationships and just being there for one another. And I think that's kind of why I chose to go there. It wasn't necessarily, and obviously they, you know, they thought I was a great basketball player, and I wanted to do, I wanted to be a big time player there. But first things first was just, they wanted what was best for me, the person, and that kind of is what really stuck out to me.
Well, and your coaches thought right, because you had a big time career at Utah Valley, becoming the WAC Player of the Year a season ago. And what do you feel like you did in your game that helped you go from maybe just rotation guy and guy that's got a promising future, but ultimately delivered on those, that high potential, and became WAC Player of the Year? What do you think you did?
Well, I mean, I think it's a lot of things. I think going to UVU, the fresh start, kind of just gave me an opportunity to just put everything behind me and just start new. And I always knew what I was capable of. And I always knew that given the right opportunity and given the right circumstance, you know, that I would do all those things. But I think my mindset was just to be an everyday guy. I wanted to be the hardest worker and the best teammate that I could be every single day. And those are my main focuses. And then, you know, I changed my body and changed my mindset. And I really learned the game and how I can be very efficient. And I think with that mindset of just bringing it every single day, it wasn't, you know, just like a snap of the fingers and I was a big time player. It was just every single day, gradually I built, and then over time, I think that's kind of the result of all those days and all those, you know, those times that I was just bringing it.
And how satisfying was it to ultimately be named, you know, the conference player of the year? Because, I mean, that's only, what, the 30 guys in college basketball can say they were the best in their respective conference. What was that feeling like last year?
There was a time when I didn't know if I was going to be able to play basketball ever again. And I think kind of just looking back and seeing how far I've come as a player and as a person, it really just, it means a lot to me that I'm able to do this. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity that I was given. And the growth that I've seen in my life, it's been a crazy journey, but I'm grateful for every step of it.
That's really great. Talk with Jake Toulson here, BYU graduate senior here on KSL News Radio. And, you know, after that last season at UVU, you enter the transfer portal. And I got to say, I love the transfer portal, the concept, because it gives more flexibility to the student athlete, because now you guys can enter that portal and not be blocked from going to any school you wish. And I'm just curious, you know, what's that experience like? I mean, what's the kind of the workflow of what you have to do to actually get into the portal? And then once you're actually there, was it just a flood of text and emails and contact from all these schools? How did that play out?
Yeah, so to get into the portal, well, first I my plan was never to even enter the portal. I was just going to stay at UVU, but then when Pope took the BYU job, I thought that it would be in my best interest to enter the portal just so I can receive some feedback and some information directly and not just, you know, through old coaches and through my parents and all that. That's why I think the portal is a good thing, so that you can just receive as much information as possible. But
that's a great point, because it gives you options, right? I mean, you could go back to your school and still, you know, but at the same time, it gives you that flexibility and those options.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I kept the door open at UVU, and I just wanted to see, you know, what was out there. And instead of, you know, having my AAU call this coach and that coach call him back and then him tell me, like, I just wanted to just be able to hear it straight. So I think I just texted our compliance guy at UVU, and I just said, you know, I wish to be put into the transfer portal, and then you got to, like, sign it and date it, and then they have 24 hours to do it, I think. So that's kind of that process. But then once I was in the portal, yeah, it was madness, to be honest. Like, tons of phone calls, tons of text messages, and just a little bit overwhelming. But I think for me, in my particular circumstance, I kind of had an idea of some of the schools that I would listen to and some of the schools I could see myself at. So it wasn't as hard, but it was, you know, hard saying no to some people and having those conversations. But I think I just ignored a lot of calls and didn't respond to some people, but it's about what's best for me. So I didn't really feel bad.
Well, in some of those schools, if I'm not mistaken, were the national champion Virginia Cavaliers and Duke, a prestigious program. Yet, was that relationship with Feger and Pope, once again, one of the big reasons why you ended up deciding on BYU?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of people see, you know, Duke and Virginia and, you know, some of the schools I was talking to, but the process was just kind of, it was a little more to it than just that. I think I took things step by step, and throughout the whole process, I just wanted honesty and transparency. And I got that from Duke and in Virginia, and some things, you know, fell through and all this. But at the end of the day, I wanted to finish what I started with Pope and Feger.
And what was the messages from Virginia and Duke? Did they, that maybe with them being honest and transparent, was it just like a role that you weren't happy with? Like, because again, people on the outside maybe hear those programs and go, why not go there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, with those programs, it's a little more complicated because, for instance, Virginia was waiting on guys who had entered the draft, but still leaving the door open to come back to school, and so they didn't know if that scholarship was there or that spot was there with Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy. And then Duke was waiting on a couple different, you know, five-star McDonald's kids in high school and didn't know necessarily what the scholarship situation would look like, and also that, you know, that spot on the floor. And so that's where their honesty and transparency came in and into play. And I mean, I think there was mutual interest from both of us, but kind of one, those things kind of led me to making the decision that I did.
Well, now you're at BYU, and I think all Cougar Nation is excited to see you back at BYU and to kind of complete this full, you know, circle on this college journey that you've been on. And I got to say, you know, Mark Pope comes in and he brings this new energy, this 24/7 relentless attitude. Is that just coach speak? I mean, does this Pope really deliver on that? Is this guy just relentless, nonstop, all day, every day?
I mean, let me tell you, the dude is a maniac. The dude he wants to be great, and he won't settle for anything less. And he really brings it out of everyone around him. He's brought it out of us and his coaching staff and everyone. Like, you can just feel it, the energy in the building, and even, you know, anyone that we come in contact with, this dude just lights a fire. And I think he is every bit of, you know, the maniac, like I just mentioned, but in the best way possible. Like, he demands just 24/7 relentlessness and doing things that nobody ever dreamed of us doing, and things that people say we'll never do. But I love it. Why would we do anything else? Why would we want to live anywhere else? We want to just to go big and to do things that haven't been done.
And going through summer conditioning and the foreign tour that you guys had in Italy, do you feel like you've taken on a leadership role of this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think a lot because I'm older, and, you know, I've been with Pope for, you know, 5 years now. And I think that's just kind of what I bring to this team, I think, is just that veteran presence, somebody who's been there, somebody who knows what, you know, coach is talking about. And at the end of the day, I think I just want to win. And I think all these guys that are here in that we have, they want the same things. And so I think when a group of guys can come together like that, and, you know, sacrifice and do what we need to do, I think that's when you can, you know, make some magic happen. And that's what we're trying to do.
And I got to imagine too, that trip to Italy really helped you and this entire team, because there's so much newness to the program this year. I got to imagine that was pretty valuable, having that foreign trip to kind of get some familiarity with one another as you guys prepare for a schedule that looks to be as tough as BYU's ever seen in this program's history.
Yeah, for sure. It was great. You know, we were able to get out there, play four games, and get familiar with each other and really compete against somebody other than ourselves, which was great. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that happened over there is we just got to know each other, and we were able to just have a ton of fun and to just be around each other. And I think that is extremely valuable when with a team, you know, when you really care about the guy next to you and you feel like genuine love for that person, like you're going to want to, you know, go to battle with that person. You're going to want to, do whatever you can to make things work. And I think that's what happened over there. And we're ready to get things rolling again.
And you got a unique perspective, Jake, both, you know, on the court and off the court at BYU. You've seen the undergrad program. Now you're experiencing the graduate side of Brigham Young University. How's that been? What grad program are you currently in, and how's the classroom treating you so far in the graduate side of things?
It's been great so far. I think we're 3 weeks in. I am getting my master's in public administration. So mine is a little modified, kind of a hybrid. On Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm in class on campus here in Provo. And then on Tuesday nights, I'm going up to Salt Lake, and I have two classes up there. So it's been great so far. I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, to come back and finish this thing and and to get, you know, my master's and all that. I think that that story is pretty cool. So and I'm really excited about what's happening.
Last couple of things from me, Jake, and I'll let you loose here. And you mentioned, you know, the word magic, and I got to imagine, you know, that's, you know, Mark Pope has said multiple times to us in the media that, you know, seniors can do magical things. You guys got a lot of seniors on this roster. What are some of the goals for both you individually and for the team that you have for this upcoming season, your final year in college basketball?
I mean, I want to win, and I want to win at all costs. I think that's why we're all here. We're here to win and win big. I think me individually, I just want to do everything I can to help this team win and to do whatever it takes. And I think that everyone has taken on that mindset too. And I think, you know, kind of like how I told you about how I became, you know, the player that I am today, it's just every day doing it and bringing it every single day. And I think that's what it takes to be a winning team too. So you just got to take things day by day. You got to bring it every single day, get better every single day. And then over time, you see the results, you see everything that, you know, you can look back and be, wow, and say, wow, you know, we've come a long way. And I think that's where we want to be is right there, just getting better every single day, bringing it every single day and winning.
Well, last thing for me, Jake, and you know, how do you fit on this roster as far as what position can we expect you to be playing this year for the Cougars? Are you a guy that can feel like it's in this positionless era of basketball? Can you be a guy that goes from one to four? I mean, where do we expect you to play this season?
I mean, yeah, I think I'll play wherever coach puts me. You know, I think, yeah, like you mentioned, today's basketball is not necessarily, you know, a position game. It's more just put the best players out there, the best lineup that you can. And I think my skill set, I'm able to play many different positions. And, you know, if we wanted to go smaller, I could go to the four. And if you needed me to handle the ball, then, you know, I could do that too. So I think wherever, you know, coach needs me, I just want to be out there on the floor making plays for my team and helping us win.
Well, Jake, good luck this season. I know Cougar fans are very excited to see you play for the blue and white this year, and good luck to you and your team. And
appreciate you, Mitch.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.